Hey there, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of the List to Live, List to Last Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Morris, and the topic of today is a day in the life of a top producer. One of the questions that I get a lot when I'm talking to agents about how they can improve production in the real estate business and at the same time really get a chance to enjoy life. The question comes up, what does your day actually look like? What do you do all day? And, you know, it's really interesting because it's not what I would have thought when I first started out. For those of you who know me, you may have heard this story, but most of you probably haven't. But prior to being in real estate, I was a long time sales guy. I'd been in 13, 14 different industries, selling everything from frozen food to web hosting services. And right before real estate, I was in the role of director of sales and marketing for a major web hosting company. We'd actually built it up to make the Inc. 500 list for fastest growing companies in the US. And that was kind of the peak of that career, and it was a really, really action-packed, stressful job, and I was looking for a change. And it was a time in the early 2000s when the real estate market was absolutely booming. It was just racing up and there were houses being sold left and right. And so my wife and I got together and said, hey, you know what, why don't we start our own real estate practice? And she went first and I stayed at the hosting job for a while, my job being the guaranteed income while she gets started. And I used the skills that I had from digital marketing to help her launch her real estate practice. And what ended up happening is it worked so well that in about 6 months, the only guarantee about my income was that it was guaranteed to be smaller than hers. So I went ahead and took the leap and got into real estate. And it was nothing like what I thought. I mean, I had always had the image that real estate agents were just making money hand over fist, and they were working on the beach and just had every day off, sat by the pool and all that kind of thing. It was just this la-la land vision of what was going on. And the reality is that it was brutal. It was just, chasing and calling and begging and pleading and fixing drama and dealing with clients and running around in circles. And honestly, although the money was good, that was only when the market was going up. When the market shifted, it was this grueling grind just to make ends meet. And anybody who's been in this business knows the statistic is the average real estate agent works their butt off but only makes about $40,000 a year. And you're working 10, 12, 14 hour days if you are productive. And I think one of the reasons is in how the business is structured. When you go to real estate school, there's absolutely no time or energy spent in teaching the mechanics of actually running a business. You learn all about fair housing law and how not to get sued and things like that, but absolutely nothing about sales and marketing, nothing about time blocking or effective business planning, or even the financial aspects of the business. It was all just how to follow the national and local laws not to get you sued. I think deep down the designers of that course really just don't want any of the backlash associated with teaching people to do the wrong things. So as a real estate agent, you get in and you don't know how to make it work. Even in my case, where I had already basically helped build and run this multi-million dollar really successful business, but real estate was this entirely different animal, because you're dealing with something that is big dollars, intense emotion, and just incredible logistics. The components that have to come together effectively in order to make a real estate transaction happen are just staggering. There's so many moving parts. And so you spend all of your time basically as an agent until you learn a couple of hacks, basically putting out fires, driving people around, and just chasing your tail all day long. And this was my life for probably the first 5 years in real estate. I was working, again, the 12 to 14 hour days, rarely a day off. It was every evening, every weekend, I was running buyers around and I was going all up and down the state. Okay. Now, my mentality when I got into real estate was, if I can reach it, I should be able to service it. And, in Delaware, where I do business, it's a small state, so I could pretty much drive the entire state end to end. So my mentality was, hey, you know what? why not just advertise for the entire state? You know, I don't want to turn business away just because it takes me an hour to drive there. And that was a huge strategic mistake, a huge, huge, huge strategic mistake, because what ended up happening is I was taking my small budget and it was spreading it across an, you know, just an immense geography when you really look at it. And, you know, I would get customers everywhere. You know, I would have folks that wanted to look an hour south of me, and then they wanted to look an hour north of me. And I was working with these buyers. So I'd spend the morning running around upstate and then spend the afternoon running around downstate. And most of my day was spent driving. It's this insane thing. And it was constantly rushing to get to the next appointment. And I lived in my car. You know, you look at my car and it would be nice on the outside, but you look at the passenger seat, it'd be strewn with MLS sheets and, you know, discarded sandwich bags from the, you know, whatever fast food restaurant I was cramming my mouth full of, you know, in my scant little breaks in between meeting with clients. It was just this horrific, really, really unhealthy lifestyle. You know, I was putting on weight and I was constantly stressed and I always felt like I was late. And then I would come home, you know, of course you can't do any of the administrative stuff in the car. So I would come home and while my kids were, you know, wanting me to pay attention to them and help them with homework and things like this, you know, I was stressed because I had addendums to write and I had attorneys to call and I had problems to figure out. I had inspections to set up and on and on and on and on and on. And this was just this vicious cycle. The longer I did this, the worse that it got. The more clients I got, the harder it got because, you know, my geography was just spread out just to hell and gone. And yes, something had to give. And what ended up happening is that, you know, my wife and I got to the point where, you know, she's in, you know, in real estate too. And, you know, we're just constantly passing each other, you know, the classic story of two ships passing in the night and all that kind of thing. You know, we're just always missing each other and missing the kids in the process. You know, on a certain level, I'm ashamed to say there were times when we were going in such opposite directions that, you know, that we'd have a child at school and each of us thought the other was supposed to be there to pick them up. So, you know, we'd get the call from the teacher going, hey, where are you? And you know, there's this mad dash to try and just fulfill the basic responsibilities of being a parent. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you're in real estate, you're not judging me because I know you've done it, or you don't have kids. Okay. And if you're not in real estate and you're considering this and you're shaking your head, all right, you'll see what I'm talking about when you get in and do this. So now fast forward to today, my business looks much different. I do very little driving and my work week, instead of 60 or 80 hours, is usually more like 30 hours or less. So how did I make the transition? What happened? What made the difference? And, you know, there were a couple of things. The first thing is that I realized that, you know, when I sat down and I evaluated my business, I thought, you know, there are agents out there that are selling, you know, just more than 100 homes. And I always see them, you know, with a smile on their face, and they're not dealing with these same things. And the common theme with all of these folks is that they were focused on listing. Okay. And my business was not. I was doing, I was doing what I call UDAM, which is undirected advertising and marketing. So it wasn't really focused on listings. It was just, hey, you know, I'm a real estate agent. I'll help you buy or sell or whatever. And most of the traffic that's easy to get is buyer traffic. Make no mistake. It's much easier to find people who are looking for houses because, of course, the buying side is the fun side. And the selling side is kind of the necessary evil. People do it because they have to. But what they want to do is they want the new house. So I was directing all my advertising at the buy side of stuff. And of course, the result was I got buyers and I wasn't really specifying geography very much. I was happy to have the whole state because I didn't want to miss out on anything. So it was just running all over the place, all right? And I realized, all right, my number one problem, first off, is that I'm focused on buyers and they are just so time intensive that they're wringing the life out of me. Number two is that I wasn't being disciplined in my use of geography. You know, I was going after the entire state, and the reality was that my budget just was not big enough to capture the entire state. I mean, the budget of the top 50 agents is probably not significant enough to capture all of the traffic for the entire state. So why not, I had to ask myself, why not take my minuscule little budget, which at the time maybe was like, you know, $400 or $500 a month, and instead focus it on an area where I'm going to have a competitive advantage. I noticed that, you know, when I was talking to people, they always wanted me to know the areas, you know, which makes sense. You know, real estate is all about location, location, location. So I needed to know the areas. And I figured that where I would have the biggest competitive advantage was within about a 5-mile radius of my office. So it was a bit of a leap of faith, but what I did is I took my advertising budget and I pulled it all back. And I got rid of everything that was touching on areas that were outside of a 5-mile radius of where I was working. Okay, that was change number one. And I was just kind of holding my breath and thinking, oh my God, everything is going to go away. You know, I'm going to lose all of these customers that I've been trying to reach all over the place, and my business is going to go down the toilet. All right. And reality was that I ended up seeing this halo effect, and that because I was doing all my advertising locally, and it was falling on, you know, it was getting in front of people who a lot of cases I knew them, or they knew people who knew me. I had this halo effect of kind of word of mouth where my blind advertising, you know, the paid advertising that's supposed to be going to strangers was actually boosting my relationship with people who knew me. You know, I had a much more, you know, I had a much greater presence with people who were in my own backyard and I was having interactions with. So not only was I cutting out my drive time, but I was having this amplifier effect because my ads were getting in front of people who knew me and kind of knew I was in real estate, but didn't really realize, you know, that it was like my full-time thing or I was serious about it, because my advertising was spread so thin across such a big geography that they weren't seeing me. Okay, so that was change number one, is I tightened my radius. Change number two, and this was another point of fear. I had always been afraid of listing. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons behind that. The biggest reason is that when you go out and you do the whole, you run the whole buyer agent gauntlet, what ends up happening is that you train yourself to be such a, you know, drop everything and run yes man, for lack of a better way of explaining things. You're just constantly trying to accommodate people's schedules in order to go out and do these tours, that it you've trained yourself to roll over. For people's requests. And as it turns out, as I learn more and more about the listing side of the business, listings are all about holding your ground, because you have to be the expert, and people have all of these, we'll just say, interesting ideas of how the real estate market works, which, you know, these ideas, for the most case, although they are logically based, you know, they're based on things that I can make sense of when I listen to people, the reality is that they're wrong. And so what was happening is that people would have these odd ideas, and I knew what was supposed to happen, but I had just pounded it into myself to always say yes to people. And so when I'd go to list a house, you know, I was saying yes to people when I should have been holding my ground and saying no, and telling them that what really went on, and then providing proof and facts and demonstrating how the market really worked. But that wasn't the case. I had picked up a whole bunch of bad habits as a buyer agent. And so I wasn't really keen on focusing my advertising on listings, because I just didn't feel confident in that area. But I decided that if I was ever going to get comfortable, I had to just bite the bullet and dig in. And fortunately, the pain was so great in the dynamics between, you know, just my family and my wife and I, that I didn't have anything to lose by making a change there, because, you know, the stuff was just, I was miserable. I was running constantly and I was making decent money, but not nearly what I felt was possible. And the stress just wasn't worth it. You know, when I counted up all the hours that I was actually working, I probably could have done better. Even though I was making six figures at the time, you know, the hours that I was putting into it, I probably would have done better working in a drive-thru or something. Now, maybe that's a little bit of an, you know, over-exaggeration, but probably not by much, because it was weekends, it was vacations, it was holidays, it was just forever that I was working. It was like, you know, 7 in the morning till 11, 12 at night a lot of times. So crazy hours, when you multiply it out, it just didn't make sense. So I figured, all right, I've just got to do this. I've got to do this. So I made up my mind one day, no more. I'm just cutting buyers cold turkey. Now, did I stop servicing buyers? Of course not. But what I did was I stopped doing advertising that was deliberately targeted at buyers. And I started setting my advertising to focus on sellers, okay, and to try and get listings so that I at least had opportunities to get in front of these folks and learn how the business works. Now, for those of you who are listening to this who are not in real estate, or maybe those of you who are going, how, oh my God, how can you not advertise for buyers? How, you know, how can you possibly justify your work to the sellers, you know, if you're not advertising for buyers? All right, well, cool your jets. okay, because I get it, and that was what I thought too. But the reality is that the quality of the buyer traffic that I got actually increased. And the reason is because when I was focusing on advertising for listings, of course I was getting listings. I mean, I was getting more listings. But you just can't escape the fact that the buyers follow the listings. So when I started to have more listings in a specific geography, there was no way to get around the fact that I was getting more and better buyers in that same geography and that were appropriate to the style of houses that I was getting for my listings, because the buyers that wanted my listings were following my listings. So even though it may seem counterintuitive to listen to, as I focused on listings, I got better buyers that were more appropriate and a better fit for the listings that I was actually trying to sell, versus just do generic advertising where I was advertising other people's listings and I was getting stuff for mobile homes, 50 miles away from me, and condos 30 miles north, where most of the stuff that was right around me was these big four-bedroom colonials at a great price point and owned by people that I knew and liked. So if you really look at it that way, how in the world was I servicing them the other way? Okay, so I made those shifts. I changed the geography and I shifted my advertising to focus on listings. Now, the last thing I did is I started getting disciplined about my schedule. Okay, and this is the thing where people just, they have a hard time following this. I was working so much chasing my tail that I had no discipline about my schedule. And what that meant was I was spending the time that I should have been spending following up on leads, I was spending it driving. That's what I was doing. I was spending it in the car. It's really difficult to do prospecting calls. And yeah, if you're listening to this, I've done it. I've answered phone calls, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I know it is possible, but it is not productive. It is not effective. Okay, it just isn't. I can actually tell you that when I started focusing on prospecting, I reallocated the time that I was driving and dedicated it to prospecting. And I did it first thing in the morning before my day got away from me. And I did it for 3 hours at a shot. And this is probably making a lot of you guys just have panic attacks. All right, but I didn't start that way. I had to sneak up on it. Okay, I started out by just saying, okay, every day at 9 o'clock, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to make at least one call. That was how it started. And eventually it got up to where I was, I built up my fortitude around this project, and I actually got to like it, especially when I was seeing the results, to where I was making upwards of 200 phone calls in a 3-hour block. And I was using leverage, I was using a power dialer and all that kind of thing. So, if it makes your head steam to think about it, it's not that hard, okay? But from a results perspective, my income increased over the course of 2 years by almost 900%. Okay? Almost 900%. I was having months where I was making six figures in a single month. And those were the three main changes. So what did this turn my day into? What does my ultimate day look like now versus what it used to be? Okay? And the reality is this, all right? I get up in the morning before 6. I exercise before I do anything else. I spend a half hour meditating and visualizing. Okay, that's a really important thing. Mindset is important. This is not what this episode is about. So you can roll your eyes and go, oh yeah, meditation, blah, 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 blah. All right, now we'll talk about that another time. But for right now, let's just acknowledge the fact that that's something that I do. And if you really look at the top producers, you're going to see a common theme there. All right. Organizing your thoughts in the morning before you start anything else is really important. End of story. So once I get done with that, all right, then I start preparing for my day. And of course, it's the typical stuff that you would probably do. You get dressed, you shower, shave, all that kind of thing. But what I'm doing as I'm doing this is I'm actually listening to things that are going to build my mentality, my mindset, my motivation. I'm listening to things that are going to build that, or I'm listening to things that are going to build my skill set. Okay, so I spend at least a half hour, usually more, listening to things that are going to help me sharpen my skills. And it's usually sales and presentation and persuasion and things like that. Or maybe it's motivation, mindset, just something that's going to get me excited, something that's going to give me juice to get through those calls. Now, once all my prep work is done, I'm at my desk before 9 a.m. I've got my list that I'm getting ready to talk to, and I get on the phone. Okay, and I turn my phone on airplane mode, and I focus on calls. And, again, I'm going to have a lot of people go, oh my God, I can't possibly deal without my phone. All right, well, yeah, me too in the beginning. because I was in panic mode and I was in responder mode. But as I got better at doing this, I started setting the expectation when I was working with sellers of, hey, listen, you know, I'm sure that one of the things that you want me to do as part of my process for selling your home is actually, you know, contact people, right? And they go, yeah, we want you to sell hard. We want you to be pushing it. I go, okay, so then just know that I dedicate a third of my day to that. From the hours till 9, from 9 till noon, you're not going to be able to get me on the phone, okay? Because my phone's going to be on airplane mode, and the reason is because I am on a power dialer and I'm pounding the pavement trying to sell your property. Fair enough? And they go, yeah, I love it, okay? And then what ended up happening is after a couple of conversations, people would just stop bothering to try and reach me before noon, and it was totally fine, okay? Or they would know if they called and left a message that I would call them back afternoon, and it was completely fine. So I set my day up to support this activity. So I would call from 9 till noon, and I was following up with people. All right, and again, huge boost to my production. I went from making six figures in a year to, you know, breaking six figures in a month. All right, that was the progression, and it started moving very quickly. I noticed massive change in the first 6 months, and by the end of 2 years, it was just insane. I was going on like three listing appointments a day and still keeping a 35-hour work week, okay? This is what's possible with making those couple of little changes. But it didn't end with that, all right? So you got your 3 hours of prospecting in the morning. And then what I would do is I would take an entire hour for lunch. And again, I hear, you know, heads exploding and hair getting pulled out. What, an hour for lunch? You don't just cram a sandwich down your throat as you're driving the car? Nope, hour for lunch. All right, and believe it or not, it was like a really, really nice, relaxing hour, because what I would do is then I'm listening to, you know, I have Audible, which is a service I subscribe to, and I'm listening to entertainment. I've got like some kind of book or something that's entertaining to me. It's fiction or it's, you know, interesting biography, whatever it is that I'm into at the time, and I'm listening to it, and I'm just decompressing from that couple hours in the morning when I have to be really on. Okay, and I'm just unwinding. I'm enjoying my food. Maybe I'm having a conversation with somebody. I'm going to lunch with somebody, but I'm really enjoying myself. All right. Now, so that's noon to one. From one till three, I'm doing prep work. And what I'm doing is I'm prepping for my listing appointments. Okay, because I would have my listing appointments at only two times in the day. All right, I got really good at setting schedules, really good at setting appointments, and it would only take two listing appointments. I would take a 3:30 or take a 5:30. And that's it. They had those choices. And it was really easy to walk people into this, all right? You know, if you're, again, pulling your hair out and going, oh, well, not with my customers. I'm throwing down the challenge right now. I'll call any of your customers in your database, and I guarantee you I can set appointments with them at 3:30 or 5:30. There's a trick to it. You probably can't do it the way you're trying to do it right now, but again, that's not what this is about. This is about what the day looks like, okay? So just rest assured, it can be done. I can teach you how to do it if you really want to know, all right? But all my appointments were at 3:30 to 5:30. So what I would do is from 1 till 3, I would prep for my listings. 3 o'clock, I was in the car. 3:30, I'm at my first listing appointment, all right? And I would do my presentation, and I would go for the close. Now, what would end up happening is if I didn't have two appointments, then that first appointment, I was done for the day. So, you know, I'd be, let's say, you know, if I've got a 3:30 listing appointment, I'm in and out and done, signed paperwork and whatnot, and I'm out by 5, and I'm on my way home. Okay. And from there, it's family time. You know, I might take some calls. I might return a couple of phone calls in order to wrap up my day. But I set my expectation with my clients that, hey, I'm done at 6. So I work at 9. You know, I'm not taking phone calls after 6 o'clock. Okay. And that's it. All right. So what ended up happening is that, again, people would get used to the fact that they needed to catch me during normal hours. And if you're, again, your head's blowing up, well, you know, other companies do this. Banks do it, and dentists do it, and doctor's office, every other company in the world, except real estate agents, for whatever reason, we've got this crazy bug where we got to be answering our phones and texting with people at 11 o'clock at night. And I'm here to tell you that that's something you've trained your customers to do. It's not because they think that they should be able to do it. It's just that that was the expectation that I had been setting, and that's probably the expectation that you've been setting, okay? So the new expectation I set with my clients is, hey, I'm done at 6. And the easiest way to do it is just change my voicemail. So they get the voicemail, they know I was done at 6. You know, they leave a message, I'd call them back the next day, all right? So that was what my day looked like. I wasn't setting appointments on the weekend, so most of the time, I'm not working weekends, okay? And if you're adding up the thing and you're going, well, hey, Jason, you're working 9 to 6, that's more than a 35-hour week. Well, you know, I'm taking an hour for lunch every day. And the days that I don't have listing appointments, I'm going home. I'm going home. Okay? If an appointment cancels, if I get a 3:30 and it cancels, guess what? I'm done for that day. Now, if you're a hard charger, and believe me, I'm a pretty hard charger, but if you're a super hard charger, you might take that as an opportunity to fill in some more prospecting time. Okay? But for me, family, really important. I wanted to enjoy my life. I didn't need to make any more money. You don't need to make any more money when you're making six figures in a single month. I'm sorry, but you don't. Okay? So what I would do is when those appointments would cancel, then rather than pull my hair out, I would just go, oh, cool, free day. All right? So more often than not, I was working a 35-hour week. Now, there's some skills behind this, of course, and that's something that really made a difference in my life was adopting that half hour in the morning as part of my prep time to work on the skills, because it was totally a time blocking thing and a skill-based thing that let me get there. And there was a transition period. It took about 6 months to really get through the rough spot and about 2 years to get it really cranking. But that is what the productivity day looks like when you get it right. So if I have any advice to give to somebody, it's rather than try and plan out your year, rather than try and plan out your month or even your week, just focus on building a single day that you can repeat and watch as the pieces of your life start to fall into place. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the List to Live, List to Last podcast. Again, I'm your host, Jason Morris. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a wonderful day. I'll catch you on the next one.